Thank you very much, Ryan. Please be seated. Well, it's great to be with you today and on this glorious Easter day. It's not the sunny, bright day we were expecting, and it may actually be a very soggy Easter egg hunt afterwards that I understand is happening in the community hall. But as we were coming down from Comox, where I was staying with my mom and Catherine, my wife, and Nicholas were there too, it looked like it was getting brighter and brighter as we got closer here. So maybe we just pray for the sun to come. But if you don't know me, my name is Dan Gifford. I'm the diocesan bishop, as Ryan was saying. And I will be moving to the east in the summertime. And it will be sad to leave the West Coast, but I am still the diocesan bishop, and I will be back here in the West from time to time. Pray for the election of a new assistant bishop as well that will be taking place in November, too. But I do bring greetings from the whole of the diocese to you, and want to just say what a joy it is to have this church as part of the diocesan family. And to see what God is doing here, many wonderful things that he is doing in this congregation, because Jesus is the living Lord who has been raised from the dead. All over the world, people are saying what you said at the very beginning of this service, you heard Ryan say, "Alleluia, Christ is risen," and you said, "The Lord is risen indeed, alleluia." Now, I thought it was a little bit tepid when you were doing it at the beginning of the service, so I want you to practice this right now, because I'm going to say it at the very end of my sermon as well. So, alleluia, Christ is risen. The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia. That's an Easter response. Very well done. Now, there's two striking aspects of those words that you just said. The first aspect is it's very, very down to earth. It's based on fact. And secondly, those are words that absolutely transform people's lives forever. And that comes up in this passage that we heard today. So if you have Bibles or a phone, open up your phone, open up your Bible to John 20, 1 through 18. And I'm going to go through this in a pretty short sermon. It's going to be fairly short, I'm hoping. But both of these aspects shine out in this passage. The people involved in this passage are very down to earth. They are not storytellers. They are grief-stricken. So the first thought of Mary, what's her first thought? They've taken him away. Maliciously, they've taken the body out of the tomb. The thought of Jesus rising from the dead did not enter her head. It wasn't there at all. The same is true for Peter and John. They both run to the tomb. I always laugh when I hear that, by the way, because it's like John wrote this and he's bragging that he was faster. he got there first. But it's not until John looks into the tomb and Peter looks into the tomb and sees the linen cloth lying there and a napkin that's been wrapped around Jesus' head not unrolled at all and sees the linen clothes lying just the way they were. That he saw and believed. And that's the crucial phrase in this passage. They saw and believed. This is what the disciples' faith was based on, what they saw. It's actually what your faith and my faith are based on if you believe as well. We're going to have a confirmation soon, and a lot of those candidates have gone through they've gone through catechism. Some of you have gone through catechism. It's all based on what the disciples saw and heard. And so John saw the massive tomb stone rolled away. He saw the cloths lying undisturbed where they were. Jesus' body could not have been taken away from those heavy grave cloths without disturbing them. So he saw the mighty hand of God at work, the results of it. He saw and believed. And it began to dawn on John and Peter that the man that they knew and loved for those 3 years was also God himself. That death could not have hold over him. That in his friendship with Jesus, in John's friendship and Peter's friendship with Jesus, they had actually heard and seen and touched God himself. And so that's why John says in his letter, 1 John, he says this about Jesus. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. That life appeared. We have seen it. We testify to it. And we proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen, what we have heard, so that you may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. That is what Easter is all about. You have fellowship with Almighty God because what John saw and heard and touched, it is Jesus. And so he emphasizes that joyful faith is based on sight. Today, we see the risen Lord Jesus in his word and we receive their faith as well. And that's what's going on in your Bible studies and catechism. You are seeing through the disciples the truth of Jesus risen from the dead. Our faith rests on the bedrock of their eyewitness. And that is what the New Testament is all about, those words. It's life-changing when we believe and we accept this testimony. And that brings me to the second aspect. So not only is this something very down-to-earth and factual, something seen, touched, and heard, there is an incredible transformation that happens in Mary Magdalene. What an extraordinary figure she is. She sees and hears something that transforms her life forever. So look at verse 11, because this transforms us as well. Mary's weeping outside Jesus' tomb. And she is there because she deeply loves Jesus. She's filled with gratitude at what Jesus has done for her, and she is weeping because that tomb is empty. Of course, she thinks that the enemies of Jesus have taken his body as a final insult. It was the worst thing that could happen, the desecration of bodies in Palestine. It was unthinkable at that time. Of people who had died. So she's overcome with sadness because this has happened on top of watching her friend and her teacher die a horrible death on the cross, which you were all remembering on Good Friday at your service. But what she hasn't understood was the power of God to change the meaning of that empty tomb, utterly change it, and then to change her forever. Her life-changing experience starts an extraordinary scene in verse 12, if you look at there. It's an amazing thing, and again, it's something that you almost have to laugh at because it's so strange. Mary has a very calm conversation with two angels. It's like it's an everyday occurrence. One's at the head and foot of where Jesus was. You see, she's so overcome with grief that she doesn't see the significance of angels speaking to her where that body was laying in an empty tomb. And those angels gently move Mary to understand what has happened here, to know the truth. And they say, "Woman, why are you weeping?" And she very simply says, "They've taken his body. I don't know where they've gone, where they've laid him." Mary could not conceive in that moment that Jesus rose from the dead. And we can relate to this as well. It's very easy for you and I to discount the power of God in the situations that we face, in the big challenges in our life. It's easy to discount that. We naturally tend towards thinking about what is possible from a human standpoint. But our God is the risen Lord Jesus, who demonstrates his awesome power even over death in this reading. And so God gently questions Mary, and he really questions us as well. Why are you weeping without hope? Why do you despair when you consider this awful situation? Why are you anxious and full of fear? It's a question for us. The angels were calling Mary to have a faith that God's purposes will fully develop through this situation. He is the living God who works all things for good for those who love him, for those who are called according to his purpose. And we often need to hear those words for ourselves, those words for Mary. Why are you weeping? And then something happens suddenly in verse 14 that causes her to turn around. Now, we don't know if she heard something behind her or whether the angels reacted because they saw Jesus behind Mary. But when she turned around, she sees Jesus and doesn't recognize him. And he asks the same question of the angels, why are you weeping? And he follows that up by saying, whom do you seek? You know, he's leading her towards Jesus. And Mary is so set on a dead body that she doesn't recognize Jesus. It's a strange thing, isn't it? It may be that Jesus prevented her at that moment from fully seeing him, but she assumed that he was the gardener. Verse 15, sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away. You know, she's clutching at straws because her whole world has fallen apart. It's an awful moment. But in an instant, that is all changed. With one word, Jesus banishes all of her grief and all of her fear, and he recreates her life. And of course, that one word was her name, Mary. Mary. Look at verse 16. When Jesus said, Mary, she turns around and she cries, Rabboni, which in Aramaic means, my teacher. It's you. And she clings to his feet with joy, probably their tears of sadness being turned into tears of joy at that moment. Because with one word, Mary, she goes from experiencing all the pain and brokenness in this world to suddenly being flooded with joy. The joy of this Easter day that we are experiencing today. Everything's turned upside down by the presence of Jesus in her life. Despair is swallowed up by certain hope for her when Jesus said her name. And you can easily imagine the joy at the end of our passage, verse 18, when she said to the disciples, I have seen the Lord. What a joyful thing for her to say. And you know, her life would never be the same again. It will be defined by the risen Lord Jesus. She would live for him. She would be part of the church in that first Pentecost where the Holy Spirit came upon them. And she would worship him all of her life, be his witness. All because Jesus called her name. Now, in the baptisms and confirmations that we're going to have in a moment, each person's name is very important. It's emphasized in this liturgy. And that's because Jesus calls disciples, he calls you and I by our name, very personally. The maker of the universe calls you and I by name. And so John 10 says this, Jesus says, I'm the good shepherd, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me and I give them eternal life. They shall never perish and no one shall snatch them out of my hand. You know Jesus personally. Forever, because he has called you by your name, very personally. And so I want to close by saying that the scene of Mary's life, her life-changing experience with Jesus speaking her name, is actually a first fruits for those who Jesus has called and now place their trust in faith in him. And many of you are in that situation. Some of you, God is calling you personally, and you have not trusted him yet. He will keep calling you. He will keep calling you. And that's what we pray for as a church, that you will place your trust in him. Because first fruits that you see here today, that word means an indication of what is going to come. And here's what will come. On the last day, we, like Mary, will see the risen Lord Jesus. This is the theme throughout the scriptures. He will call you by your name, and it will be a scene of great joy because there will be a deep familiarity that the person that Jesus Christ, he has known you and loved you your whole life, and you are seeing him for the first time. That will happen. Secondly, our body will be like Jesus' body. I believe in the resurrection of the body. You guys say this every Sunday in the creeds. A transformed body is the gift of Jesus that has gone through death. We will not be disembodied spirits. We will actually recognize loved ones who have died in the Lord. It will be a place of reunion and joy because of Easter Day, because of the resurrection of the body. And thirdly, on the day of the resurrection, our healing with Mary will become complete. We will be healed in the same way that Mary was healed at that moment. But this will be a forever healing. Listen to Revelation 21:4. Jesus says our name, we see him, and the pain and brokenness of this life will be swallowed up by joy. So Revelation tells us, God will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. And he who sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. That is what awaits us. That is the goal of our faith today. It's a certain hope that strengthens your joy. That is what Easter is about. But today, we also know that these real events of Easter are not just about our future. It means that the power of Jesus' resurrection deeply affects us right now, every day. Because of the resurrection, the living Lord speaks to you through his word. He actually addresses you by name as you read the Bible, and that's how we should read the Bible. As though God is addressing you by your name. That's why the book of Hebrews says that the word in the Bible is living and it is active. God is speaking to you through it. Secondly, because of Easter, God hears your prayers. It's a very simple thing to say. But when you come to pray, you come into the living presence of Jesus every time. And he listens to your words just as you would listen to a loved child speaking to you. God listens to you personally because of Easter. And third, he forgives your sin. The gift of the resurrection is that Jesus is Lord, that he has authority to forgive all sins. That was the great work of Good Friday and Easter Day. We have peace with God. We have fellowship with him forever because of Jesus' powerful work, the forgiveness of sins. And then fourthly and finally, he strengthens you to serve him. The risen Lord Jesus, because of Easter, gives the Holy Spirit to every person who puts their faith in the risen Lord Jesus. So that even as our bodies age, the Bible says that inwardly, God is renewing us day by day. Why? So you can serve him, the Lord who is with you, leading you as your good shepherd. So you can see the power of Jesus' resurrection reaches into our life every day. Jesus is making you ready for heaven by that power. He is speaking to you, and he is listening to you because of Easter. And he is forgiving you and renewing you because the power of the Lord Jesus on Good Friday, Easter, where he is Lord of all, King of kings, and the one who we will serve with joy all of eternity. And so that's why we say right now, today on this Easter day, Alleluia, Christ is risen. The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen. Now we get to do another celebration because of Jesus rising, and it has to do with baptism.